I'm sitting here drinking me some coffee, smoking me a nice ass blunt. It's pay week. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. Actually had a pretty good Friday. But if you're listening to it, you're listening to it on a Thursday. So welcome to the Smoke This Over episode of the Smoker's Lounge. You know I am. I'm Kevin Off Subchannel, a.k.a. The Porn Rap Star. Find all my links with one link, allmylinks.com/pornrapstar. Two sponsors, not three. Well, three technically. But the first one being the hottest adult mag in the game, RodSizzleMagazine.com. Next up, award-winning, award-nominated, voiceover with their smut, even got an award-nominated virtual reality side of their website. I'm talking about none other than BlushErotica.com. And loyal fans, which is now a new home to my subscription side of my podcast. I'm talking about none other than the Premium Smoke Room. Five premium podcasts for you to enjoy. It gets more candid. It gets more unpredictable. It gets more wilder. It gets more crazier. The tits will come out. Dildos might pop out. You don't know unless you subscribe. Plus, in the video store, you get to see me in action. So you get to see everything that I see and tell you people about and talk about when it comes to being in front of the camera. I done experienced it, done it, and won the trophy. Also, find me 5 days out of the week in the mornings at FullSwapRadio.com. Also, SkyhawkAppleTV.com, as well as the BGP LLC app. So, as y'all know, this is my episode, I just me. Get to hear me talk. Get to hear me rant. Get to hear me speak and give you things to think over and think upon. And these are, of course, subjects that has dominated the airwaves, you know, or things that I might want to discuss when it comes to my porn or sexuality or whatever the fuck I feel like talking about. This is my episode to rant and rave and say what I want. So let me sit back and like this blunt, and y'all like Charles, let's get rolling, shall we? So, Mandy and them had their last episode. Last episode was them together. And I see Mandy been a busy bee because she's been into a beef with Jess Hilarious. Now, of course, beef with Olivia Dope, which I already know about. And they're at the end of their episode, their series, their podcast. I'm sorry, I'm checking my text message at the same time I'm recording this. I'm also dealing with my pay pig. Yes, a black man has a pay pig. Another conversation for another day. But what was interesting about this whole thing with the podcast and why it ended. And I heard some of the final episode. To be honest with you, I got halfway through and just was like, I never got a chance to finish it. But people don't realize there's no money in this podcast shit. Now, I said, we talked about it and I discussed it a little bit. On the last previous episode. But this episode, no, there's really no money in it. There's no big deals. And the people that got big deals in this business, you want to know why they got it? It's because they were celebrities walking into the podcasting arena. They got the deal not because of work that they have done, but work they had done in a different field, which they felt would have translated to podcasting, which did not happen. Advertisers sat there and threw their money at some of these top podcasts, not wondering or looking at the demographic that this podcast actually plays to, and not understanding that maybe that demographic don't want to buy your shit. A lot of these podcasts inflated their numbers by getting what is called promoters, who basically have bots that give them listenings and what have you. But that listenership is not translating to actual money being made because they're not real people to begin with. So now, so where the advertising goes, the advertising, if you notice, is actually on the platform where you got your podcast. Ambassador ads, trying to convince people to join that podcasting hosting platform. Or they add, you know, their ads to whatever the shit you get, you cut. But see, the thing about it is that it is about listenership. It is about being heard. And many of them looked at it, they wasn't making any money. The Patreon, it was making money, but it wasn't making money. See, Joe Budden, to be honest with you, the only podcast that really make the on the whole that really make money with their Patreon, if I notice, is really the wrestling folk. The wrestling sector really kills it when it comes to the Patreon shit and true crime. But when it comes to like the hip hop space, like Joe Budden and them, Joe Budden probably the only one that Patreon probably is hitting. Cause see, the thing is, their Patreon ain't what wasn't hitting. Horrible Decision, theirs hitting because, well, they do talk sexuality. But if you notice, really the money is in the turn. But I digress. See, I try to explain to people is that it's the same microcosm that we deal when it comes to porn. People think that because this person does this and they look good doing it, they sound good doing it, they got the set that is plush, that they're making money at it. No, a lot of this is labor of love. You gotta understand something. My operation cost is low as fuck. Full disclosure. I don't even work with a mic. And the reason why I decided I'd work with a mic because, well, shit, hell, these computer mics is just fucking good. The mic that I'm using, it's just probably the muffleization or what have you. But hell, with good editing software, I can make me have a mic. I do everything. I edit. I market. I promote. I book. I keep up with who I'm supposed to be interviewing each day. I make the covers. I interact with the fans. Do you understand? These ladies pay for studio time, have to pay for someone to edit it. And we're talking about three camera, maybe four camera setup. Then you're talking about editing. Then you're talking about the studio that you're working out of. You got to sit in there and pay for the studio time. If you don't want to use a setup that they already have and put your little shit, you may have to get an hour extra or two. Also, if you have a staff, you might have your own producer or, you know what I'm saying, machine guy, mic guy, all that shit, right? Even the person that pulls up the shit online for you to look on the screen, take a look at. All that is someone they're paying. So trust and believe, that's why I said it's a labor of love. Roy and Maul, if it ain't for them getting a deal, no way in hell they could do this. Because I'm supposed to believe that people paying to go to their Patreon. Now, do I believe the women do go to listen to the Patreon of the female podcasters because... yeah, women live vicariously through women. Writing poetry. There's so many genres within the podcasting community that a Patreon can make you money. But their type podcasting is not. So trust me, the reason why a lot of people even joined the thing is Patreon was because they thought, man, they're going to talk some crazier shit than what she already talking about on the damn podcast. But that's why I said people don't get it. It's this business, like any business, like even with porn. You have to be able to make the money sustain the level that you want to be at. It wasn't enough for them to do it remotely, like what I do or Roundaway Curls do. You feel me? It's everybody don't got the money for that. A lot of it is, I enjoy doing it. Or, this is my hobby, but eventually it will become my career once it makes the money. But it takes time for that money to actually pop up. It takes a lot of time. Everything takes time. But, gotta be patient. Gotta be persistent. Gotta be consistent. Podcasting, the entertainment genre itself, it's no different, whether it's porn, whether it's rap, whether it's podcasting. You gotta be consistent. You gotta keep putting out content. Even when the content not making money, you have to put out content. Until you got to find other things within that genre that is worth achieving, even if you're not making the money. I got nominated for AVN. I know I done said it a million times, but people, y'all don't understand. To be in this business for 15 years is a talent. To see and hear and how big the AVN is, it is the Oscar, it is the Grammy to the adult film world. And to get a nomination, oh, by the way, as a podcaster, which means it ain't got shit to do with my dick. It's about the information that I'm putting out, the shows that I'm putting out, the entertainment value. Oh, and it was voted on by fans. Yeah, that's an achievement. But do I make money initially from podcasting? No, I do have some subscribers, yes. But not to the point where I can sit here and tell my job ditto. I have had an increase in sales when it comes to my porn because of the podcasting. But I don't make enough to sustain my 9-to-5 deuces. See, y'all got to realize that everything you do is a business. So any business, not everybody going to jump out and be hot as soon as possible. Some of these podcasts, even though I might just heard about them, they've been around. A lot of these YouTubers that I'm hearing about, they've been around. Like, they ain't going to stop as funny as fuck. It's funny, the people that I end up watching, they end up blowing up. Maybe I got a good sense of talent. But this dude has became known, famous, and everything the fuck else because he happens to be, and I keep saying this, the Dave Meltzer to the Joe Budden podcast. How Dave Meltzer is the voice of fandom when it comes to pro wrestling, where he is the voice of fandom when it comes to Joe Budden. And if he actually did more content on a podcast, probably hip-hop podcasts in general, the black podcasting community. To the point that he got two of the co-hosts of the JBP looking to beat his ass, and both of them has mentioned they know where he work and live. Adam 22 pulled him up on the pulled him up on New York, and yeah, he's a chubby, light skinned dude. He's what I thought he was gonna look like. He's an academic looking kind of dude, and them dudes are the ones who, well, they end up being the most successful. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. The dumpy, frumpy dudes, and no disrespect, I'm not being funny or trying to tease Danny, but them type dudes, if you notice, they end up blowing up. The quiet in the back. Danny looked like he the type dude that he, it's not that he wasn't popular, he wasn't the most talkative in class or what have you. Just like he was saying about with, what's his damn name? Queensflip. How Queensflip probably with the guy in the classroom was the bully because he just wanted attention and stuff. No, I beg to differ. He was the dude in the back that was quiet. All the girls didn't want that dude. He was just cool with everybody. Or all the girls liked being around him because he was funny. But no threat because wasn't nobody trying to fuck him. Which, I mean, I don't know Danny personally, but he has a look at that kind of dude that, yeah, he's a friend zone nigga. But think about this. His coverage of the JBP has made him the man. Y'all, I mean, I'm telling you this now. Danny's about to be the DJ Academics of the podcast community. See, because people don't understand power. If I have the ability that my content can affect you emotionally, dude, I got you. And Danny, brilliant. People are not even realizing that they actually fueling this guy. Because let me tell you why they're fueling him. If he was me, I'd be like, wait a second. If my shit is bothering you that much. Okay. Here's another one. And the funny part is, he don't even review the shows hardly. He do review them as podcasts, but what he reports on is the shit that they do behind the Patreon wall. He breaks down little tidbit shit. He does that no different than Tasha K does to the celebrities. But see, and he was like, it was like he said, them podcast niggas is sensitive. Yeah, Danny, them New York niggas is sensitive. Them New York, New Jersey niggas is sensitive. Yes, they are. I know a few of them. Very sensitive. Extremely sensitive. But it's just funny because that shows me how good of a job this dude does. And the shit, he does break it down. And what's funny is he's not, they're so mad at him and upset that it's hilarious because he can't report on nothing. Y'all don't give him something to report on. And like, I sit there sometimes and listen to JVP and I can pick which spots of the JVP show that he is going to dissect, break down, and do a video about. And I'll be spot on. Because if I see it, of course he sees it. If I think it's somewhat controversial, and see, the thing about it is, I know a lot of people look up on the surface and say, it ain't no issues, it ain't this, it ain't this, this ain't. Let me be the first to tell y'all this. Devil's advocate. Because I've been in rap groups that was successful. Not to the point that we went mainstream, but we got far. Being around porn stars, all this shit. Being around celebrities, actually. Sometimes what's on the surface is actually on the surface. Just because we work together doesn't mean that I like you. How many of y'all work with somebody? You talk to them, but you don't care for them so much. Or you eventually learn to give a shit about them. Co-workers have dust-ups. There is arguments that actually carry on to the set. Think about it. If I'm a male talent, you know how many times male talent got an argument with his woman and he had to bring that on set? And he couldn't even function because he over there crying. So how is that far-fetched? And people are saying, do I think, because I hear people like say, well, nah, Queen Flip, he all about trying to go viral. He's about content over everything. I don't feel like doing the initials. But, no, he dead serious. He seriously wants to slap the shit out of Danny. I just find that comical. And if he does, I hope Danny beat the living dog shit out of his fat ass and put that shit on YouTube, on the stop, with the Funkmaster stop. Yeah, Queen's Flip. Danny beat the shit out of you. Drop the bomb. Queen's Flip, you talked about WWE, but Danny rock bomb on your fat ass, bitch. Drop the bomb. Danny grabbed you and tombstoned you right right there in front of the JBP, and Joe just laughed, dropped a bomb. I mean, no, I'm serious. Imani, because see, Imani said the same thing. I'm like, wait a second. It's not that serious. He's a guy who's actually helping your podcast blow the fuck up, because let's keep it 100. If it wasn't for Danny doing these fucking goddamn breakdowns, it wouldn't make motherfuckers go watch. I sit back and watch. Danny got a whole fucking space deep talking about the JBP ready. I sit back and need my research, or as he likes to say, the science. Dude got it popping. See, actually, if I were JBP, I would send that motherfucker some money and some goddamn champagne and say, please continue. Because it seemed like to me, and let's break this down, let's do the science, that since he's been covering the JBP, since Flip has been on there, the JBP itself has grown in popularity and listenership, and very much so on YouTube. Take a bow, Danny. Smoke that over. I know a lot of people say, that ain't a correlation. No, it is. It is. When Tasha K got sued by Cardi B, her shit popped off. Now this motherfucker doing tours. So I want you to think about something. Because see, when they started mentioning Danny, or when they started doing the subliminal shit, and a lot of people listen to Danny, because if I listen to Danny, I'm pretty sure a lot of motherfuckers, just him being talked about, they went to go see him. Him being, people, he's the next big YouTuber. Put some respect on that man's name. Because if I'm able to piss you off to the point that you're talking on your show that you want to slap me, dog, I have done my job. Look. It's the king of Miami. It once was. Trying to explain it to you people. If I'm able to control, if I'm able to get you that emotional, that means my content is being heard and being felt. So congratulations, Danny, man. I know I always give you shit in the comment section. That's because, man, it's out of respect, man. See, because it's crazy. That's the beauty of YouTube. That I can become famous by following somebody that's famous and reporting on it. There's always been the case in this world. You want to be honest, I'm doing a similar situation. It's just, I pretty much stay within the realm of porn for the most part, not drift into movie genres, which, speaking upon movie genres, I got something coming hot. I'm trying my damnest to get these Tubi motherfuckers on here, because I really love Tubi, man. Really love the Tubi movie scene. Y'all can laugh at Tubi all you want to, but Tubi is giving Netflix a run for its money. I mean, of course, Netflix will always have, you know, that leg up, what have you. But now, Tubi got some heat. And I'll be talking to a young lady, Abigail Rivers, from Geechee Films, who has a couple of, about 12 films on Tubi as we speak. And, of course, I've been on my Tubi tip, watching a whole bunch of good stuff. So, and y'all need to check out that app, hands down. So, now, I don't know what has happened since the beginning, or by the time y'all listen to this, who the fuck did I marry? Now, I haven't talked about this. I haven't talked about this on the podcast, on this podcast. But y'all need to go to the Premium Smoke Room. That's right, the Premium Smoke Room on Loyal Fans. Me and Big Jordan talked about it on Dirty Talk with Jordan. And she drooled on the big-ass titties of hers. I need to really subscribe to see that. And, of course, Miss Bitcoin. And, you know, I'm about totality. And plus, you also had the Porsche situation that been going down. And slowly, I don't know what news by the time this episode drops, where it might have came out. And the one thing I take into account is that sometimes females willfully overlook red flags because women love to lie in the bed that they made. That's an old saying, people. I lie in the bed that I made. And the reason why Shorty, especially Big Mama, and all the females with the guy Legion, was that I think it's a combination of dick, good dick. He probably is not the best looking guy in the world, and he's toxic, so some tell me he probably has some banging ass penis. And two, also, the fantasy of a man. See, if you listen to each of these females, the term is funny as fuck. This is when the term love bomb becomes the bad thing. Even though I never heard the term love bomb until this year, but I digress. I thought it was courting, but that's just me. Because each of these females said they couldn't believe the type of man he was. When they met him, he was nice, he was sweet, he was everything that this woman was looking for, hoping for, and was and wanted. But see, even the snake that's in camouflage within the leaves, if you pay attention, you see the leaves move. And you know something is in that leaf pile, and you might not want to go over there. There's certain signs and things that I can't sit here and say to what signs, because I wasn't in their relationship. But you see, the problem is women don't listen to their gut. They don't have discernment. See, not every dude is meant to be your man. Some dude is just meant to be a fling. Some men are meant to be just an itch that got scratched. Some niggas just need to be your friend. Some niggas you just don't need to deal with at all. But see, because the idea of having a man is more important than having a man, then you would take any man just to say you got one. See, women put pressures on themselves to get a man, to have a baby. Because let's be honest, it's not just men that sit here talk about a woman in prime. Shit, it's women. You have aunties and grandmas and mamas and girlfriends who sit there and say, girl, you're getting old now. You know, them eggs ain't going to be egging too much more. Sometimes women put pressure on themselves. See, it was interesting because I sit there, I listen to Dr. Umar and Yachty talk about who was at fault for the BBLs. And Dr. Umar, both of them had good points. I ain't going to front. Don't get it twisted. It was a very good part of the conversation. It made me want to go listen to the damn whole interview to see what the hell they talked about. But it's funny how men get blamed for everything, right? Because he said black men objectify and sexualize our black women. And I digress. It was a whole bunch of shit that he said, but that was stood out to me. And that what Yachty was saying about the BBL was that a lot of women do it because to make them feel better because of what they see in the mirror. Of course, Dr. Umar gonna do the stick that is men. Now, it is a combination of both if you want to be honest about it. Now, if I want to put a bow on who is the 100%, culprit, meaning which came first, the chicken or the egg, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's men. Not just black men, just men in general. No, actually, I take that back. It's other women. See, I tell people this. Men and women both live vicariously through others, but it's a different type. Women live vicariously through other women as in they wish that was them. Men live vicariously through other men because they want to say that that I am him. See the difference? The BBL is because, for the most part, women are probably the most critical about their looks. It began with the woman. See, if I had this conversation with Mr. What we call it, he could shut up for 2 minutes. Mr. Dr. Uber, he could shut up for 2 minutes. And I could break it down to him. Because a woman equates that because I'm not getting a certain amount of men or a certain type men, it's because the type body part or the type body that I have or the way that I look. Men are not so self-conscious about their looks as women are. Men do not kill themselves because they say they're ugly. They kill themselves because they ain't getting no pussy. They kill themselves because they ain't got no money. Women kill themselves because they think they're ugly and not worthy. It's a difference. They'll sit there and look at their homegirl and be like, damn, I wish I had them tits. We don't sit there and look at my homeboy and be like, man, I wish we had them goddamn. I wish I had his dick goddamn. I wish I had a six-pack like him. No. You might say, I wish I had a car. Man, I wish I had them shoes, man. Them damn shoes nice. Women care more about their appearance than men. Call a woman an ugly bitch. She more mad about the ugly than men call the bitch. When a man cheats, she looks to see the female better looking than her. So yeah, the reason why the BBL became a thing because other women saw women doing it and they said, well, damn, I like to have an ass too. They saw the reaction of their husbands. They also saw the outfit that female was wearing. Every female in their mind have an AI avatar look of what they feel they look like physically. If your girl plays Sims or any of them avatar games, look at the person that she makes. Guarantee it's going to be a little different than what she is. Just slightly. So that's the reason why the BBL became hot. Because one, it became more affordable. And two, women are lazy. They ain't going to want to go through all that. They don't want to go through dieting. They don't want to go through hitting that gym like that. They don't want to do none of that shit. They want to just go ahead and have instant gratification. So actually, God created the chicken for it to be an egg because, well, he had to create humans before there was babies. So with that being said, women was the one that created the demand and the belief that they need a BBL. Why did Marilyn Monroe went through plastic surgery to advance her career in Hollywood? Some of these females, actually, especially in Hollywood, get bigger tits, get an ass, lose a rib, whatever the fuck it is, so they can get movie roles, so they can get more money, more attention. Why in the world you think Cardi B did what she did? Why do you think Nicki Minaj did what she did? Why do you think Lil' Kim did what she did? They wanted to get more. And the more their body looked better, the more they looked considered pretty or sexy or gorgeous, the more opportunity they got within Hollywood. So technically it had nothing to do, it still had something to do with men. It wasn't that I want more men to fuck me. No, it's I want these men to look at me and say I'm money. So yeah, it goes to how a woman feels. And sometimes it went to her career. Let's keep it 100. Those two preachers that got the BBL, we wouldn't be talking about them if they didn't have the BBL. Smoke that over. Smoke that over. So, yes, sir. Now, I swear it's been a interesting day. It's raining and shit. The pay pig hit me up. Sitting here doing this. Yes, a black man has a pay pig, ladies and gentlemen. God is good. So, I did see the Donna and Rollins comedy special. Well, I saw some of it. Trust me, I won't finish it. And I saw the Mike Epps. And the Mike Epps was funny, but it wasn't as good as his previous ones. And yes, he did rehash a whole bunch of jokes. The Donnell Rollins, because I saw that him and Corey Holcomb was having beef, that he confronted Corey Holcomb during a comedy set. And I was watching 5150, and Corey had Godfrey on the phone, and he basically said that Donnell Rollins' comedy special was mild. His comedy is mild. Now, to keep it 100, I watched some of it. Donnell Rollins, it like this. It's certain people, I'm going to be real with you, that are great stand-up comedians. And they're great. Whether they get the opportunity to do movies, TV shows, what have you, beyond, no, I'm talking about stand-up comedy. Donnell Rollins is not one of them, unfortunately. I like Donnell Rollins. I think he's a funny guy. But sometimes your comedic genius may not be on stage. It may be in movies. It may be with a script. It may be on the radio or on a podcast, but not necessarily stand-up, because stand-up is totally different. It's not just about writing jokes. It's also about writing jokes, delivering jokes, timing, energy, feeling the crowd, knowing the crowd. It's so many things. It's no different than when I used to do music. You know, I used to perform and stuff. It's the reason why I rocked the stage everywhere I went. And it wasn't, I'm not saying this shit because it's me. No, bullshit. You be asking niggas from around Durham, they be like, no, you do not want to go behind Kavanaugh. You do not want to go behind Kavanaugh because he's going to make it hard for you, because the fans are going to be so dripped up by him, they're going to look at you like, all right, nigga, what you going to do? Because you're going to top that. How you going to top that? Yeah. It's not, it feels, I mean, I know as a comedian, it feels good as shit. When you hear motherfuckers like, no, I do not want to go behind him. No, let me go first. I done heard that. They be like, man, wait a second. Kavanaugh, champ is here. Oh, no, let me go on behind before the champ, bro. Let me go on before the champ. You know he gonna tear it down. But Don Rollins, yeah, I go behind him. It's just... Because don't get it twisted. What Carl Hogan was saying is, when he mean by beast mode, think about the comedians that when you watch their set, you did not have one moment you were not laughing. You was not laughing. The only time you had a moment was when he would do the joke setup and you was coming down off the laugh because the first joke had you laughing for about damn near 3 minutes. Beast mode. His jokes is so funny that you actually missed 3 jokes from laughing from the joke that you laughing from. Because he that funny. And then when you finally come down off of that joke, the next joke he didn't hit that you finally hear, you laughing again. You done missed 3 jokes laughing from that. Beast mode. Now, granted, not every show is going to be a beast mode. Let's keep it 100. Not everybody can do that. They can't everybody keep up with that. Because let's keep it 100. I love Cat Williams. Some of his shows, he didn't beast mode. Some of his specials, don't get it twisted. Some of his specials, not all of them, was beast mode. But then again, his beast mode is Super Saiyan, so. Cat Williams is a Super Saiyan type shit, so. Even the one that wasn't beast mode was probably way better than some of the motherfuckers that was beast mode. So let's go there. The only people that I can see getting Corey Holcomb, I haven't seen him do a comedy special, which I'm very surprised that he haven't gotten one yet. I know he had some that I saw one or two stand-up specials that he did that was on YouTube or something like that from, I guess, a club or whatever. But, no, dude, it's a beast. Earthquake is beast. But that don't necessarily mean that it equates to Hollywood. Because it's still a look and an image that you got to have. And a look that fits Hollywood and what they're looking for. See? Because, of course, they were going to look at Cat Williams first. He was Redbone. He fair-skinned. He got straight hair, all that shit. No disrespect to Cat. Kevin was the side, was the backup who ended up becoming the starting quarterback. I'm like, well, this is a dark-skinned brother, so we can say that there's no colorism there, buddy. We got a dark-skinned short one. No colorism there, buddy. See, that's what I tell people. Celebrities are sensitive. Celebrities do give a fuck about what the fans think, the public think, and the whole nine, because a lot of it is how their money is made. And two, you don't ever want to know how I feel when you have a million people say they hate you. You love that million people love you, but no, you never want to feel that pain when a million people hate you. See, I want people to think, smoke this over. Imagine waking up and you got to literally have one of your family members grab your phone and shut your social media off. Shut your phone off. Turn off your notifications because you got so much backlash, so much this, so much this, so much of this because of something that you said or did. In some cases, it was just your fucking opinion. See, I know that was a long pause. I'm sorry, people. I had to light my cigarette. But I want you to think about that. Imagine waking up and your Twitter feed at fuck you, at you a piece of shit. I hate you. I hope your dog gets skull fucked by a turtle. You have money that you had and you know what I'm saying, subscribers unsubscribing to your shit, people unfollowing you, every negative thing, people threatening your family and all this. See, that's why I said social media, the reason why it's so dangerous is because you're knowing what someone is thinking about you and they're not even in the same town, let alone same neighborhood as you. Oh, and you don't know what it looked like. Smoke that over. So, I done gave y'all something to think about. And I hope y'all enjoyed that. So, y'all enjoy the rest of y'all Thursday. And please check out tomorrow, Bonus Smoke Friday, where I interview a new lady every Friday. Something, or a gent, depending upon who I can bump into. Also, for my Spotify subscribers, go ahead and subscribe to the to my only subscription episode is going to be on Spotify only, called Savage Smoke, where I talk to the industry's top male talents, and we really talk that shit about the industry. So it's not on Loyal Fans, it's only on Spotify for my Spotify users. So all you got to do is subscribe for $4.99 a month. You get to hear an extra episode 2 a month. When it comes to that. And, of course, the Premium Smoke Room on Loyal Fans, $25.99 a month. I'm talking about 5 premium podcasts, plus a video store where you can see some of my work and see how I get down when I was active in the business. And plus other perks such as, you know, if you get messages from the ladies, updates, and all that good stuff. You know, you can follow, you this, that, third. Oh, if you become a follower, there's an actual, you get a discount, even more so to subscribe. But I digress. So y'all go check out the Premium Smoke Room, because what happens in the Premium Smoke Room stays in the Premium Smoke Room. So, I'm done. With that being said, now we end these things. Life. It's a learning experience. What's the point of the experience if you haven't learned anything? Smoke this over.